S-R-N.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women. That is good. That is good.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Grangekeeper now about to become the Masters Champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole!
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell him Silent Breed is people!
Come along, Mr. 1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts!
Take your sticking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Welcome to episode 49 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out on a chilly Sunday afternoon. That's your Cinema Crespo Diso weather report. Drew Sacogburn's here with me. Drew, how's it going?
What up, bro?
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing, man.
Word? Yeah, you ready to get this baby going?
I guess as ready as I'll ever be.
Episode 49, the last of the 40s.
Yes, sir.
The last of the 40s. With us, returning guest. Finally got him. We tried to get him a couple times, but things came up. We got him here this weekend. We're super happy about it. Big Mike from SwampPatrol.com. Big Mike.
Yeah, what's going on, buddies?
What's going on, man? Good to see you, dude.
Ready to come back and defend my title for the world.
Yes, yes. Drew is at 9-9.
So this is to take the lead or lose it for us.
Again.
Yeah, you can knock him back down.
Wow. Oh. I think that happened the last time I was here, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
The pivotal Big Mike battles.
Oh, I love it.
I got a good game for you guys, too.
Awesome. So I love competitions.
Looking forward to that. But before we get the show started real quick, Big Mike, I want to ask you about the Gator season, which ended recently.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the tallies, bro? What you got? What kind of Gators did you guys get?
We had the Swamp Patrol boys had the best Gator season to date for us.
Wow.
Yeah, which it was fantastic. As a whole, our group got we got 11 set. We got two 11-7s.
11 foot 7 inches?
11 foot 7 inch alligators.
Wow, man.
We got one 11 foot alligator.
All right.
We got two 10 foot alligators.
Nice.
We got a 10 foot 9 alligator that went everyone I brought it to, like the taxidermy that I'm getting it done.
Uh-huh.
He straight up said this alligator looks like it was a captive alligator.
What do you,
because it was short,
uh-huh,
but it was so thick and so big. When it's funny when you look at them, you know, and you get like an 11 footer, you could see they're bigger, their heads are bigger, you can just tell the size difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when they get into the 12 foot range, their mouth and their beak starts growing in size and it gets thicker.
Ooh.
You know, and you could just tell
meaner
and just, ugh, the girth of it. And it was my taxidermy guy. He aged it for me. He said about 110 years old.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's an old timey.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old time. Think of the things that alligator
has
seen and lived through on the swamp.
That thing lived through world wars and depressions.
And evaded everyone in his life.
Yeah.
And me and my drunken idiot friends found him. Like,
He evaded capture for over 100 years and then some drunk rednecks just snagged him up.
Big Mike and his buddies.
Beware that Swamp Patrol.
Yo, bro.
I'm telling you, we come and we sneak in the back door and get the big ones.
That's great. Man, 100 years old.
Yeah.
How long are those things during lit for?
I mean,
was that thing in old age? Did you get it in the towards the end of its lifespan?
You can get them up to 150, 200 years old.
Oh,
I mean, them
goodness.
Things can just live and live. They hibernate. They get down. And if there's no one encroaching on them and if they've got their own territory and they're not having to constantly battle and fight, you know, and inflict wounds. Because that's what happens when you see like a gator that maybe just died of old age.
Uh-huh.
What happened was is it probably lost a fight. And couldn't
keep moving.
Couldn't hunt.
Couldn't eat.
You can't hunt, and you die slow.
Wow.
And that's what happens when they get old age. They just can't hunt anymore. But when they live in their own little nice area that has them locked in, and they just kind of rule the roost.
Do you know if their do their teeth regenerate, or do they have a finite amount of teeth that they can lose?
No, they lose their teeth, and I do not believe they come back.
So, I mean, that could be another thing. If they get old enough and they lose enough teeth, then they just can't
yeah,
really
exactly.
eat.
I mean, they still got the crushing pressure.
Oh, that's
true. With turtles and fish, they don't even need the teeth.
That's true.
That just helps them hold on.
For, like, the bigger animals.
Yeah, for the bigger animals, you get the deer and stuff, you're going to need teeth to hold them on while it and kind of grab in there.
Try to gum a deer to death.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What they would, they'd probably drown it at that point. They'd bring them in and take them under.
Oof.
But, you know, the older ones they get, and the teeth grow and grow and grow, and that's how you, another way you could tell the old ones.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you, the teeth will just be huge. I mean, the trunks, the bottoms, and the base of the teeth can be bigger round than a quarter.
Whoa.
You know, that's
a big tooth.
That's a over an 11-foot alligator.
That's scary, man.
You know, and you get in some of these big ones, and there it gets to be a blast. But we caught, my boat personally, we pulled in five.
Mm-hmm.
We had an 8, a 10, a 10-9, an 11, and then an 8.5.
So the 11 was the big one for your boat?
The 11 was the longest, but the 10-9 was
the 10-9 was the one we were just talking about.
The 10-9 that we were just talking about was by far the biggest. It was 4 inches shorter.
Uh-huh.
Or 3 or 4 inches shorter, but weighed about 90 pounds more.
Wow.
That is like,
that's a lot.
That is a lot. That's that a is lot
of,
major.
That's a lot of torque pressure if it wants to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Man. The death roll.
Yeah, but we had a really good season. A couple of my other guys, you know, the Swamp Patrol boys, they had a good season.
Word. Awesome.
We had one boat that got skunked, which,
what do you mean? What happened?
They,
oh, like they got nothing?
They got nothing. Oh. They had four tags that they had to fill. They were on Lake Jessup.
That's the Gator Lake.
It's the Mecca of the Gator Lakes.
They went to where the gators were. They were. Couldn't get one?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in the middle of writing a book. It's called The First Rule of Hunting.
Okay.
And every rule is the first rule. Okay. And the first rule of hunting is you go where the game is.
Makes sense.
That's the first rule.
When I do my big game hunting, I go straight to the big game preserves.
Exactly.
And I, you know, all the, oh, this is where they keep the endangered elephants.
Exactly.
You know, why am I going to go looking for one?
Exactly. You go where they're at.
Man.
And
they didn't get any. Oh.
They got skunked, and I felt terrible because they were on a, you know, we put all the guys with iPhones on one big group text.
Uh-huh.
And so we're all talking, you know, showing pictures of our gators.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one group Jessup, was just quiet.
Oh, why is it so quiet over there, guys?
Yeah, and, you know, that leads in. Hunters, we love making fun of other,
of course,
other guys who aren't, you know, especially when we get what we're out for.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just didn't
rode them pretty
it.
Hard. Oh, man.
Yeah, rode them real hard. And they weren't too thrilled with it, to say the least.
I'm sure. I mean, they're going to have to come back strong next year.
And that's $600 wasted.
Oh, for the tags?
For the
stuff?
Tags.
Yeah.
That was two tags they got at $280 a piece.
Oh,
so that's wasted. No get your money back, no nothing, just wasted.
No, you can hang them on the wall. I mean, like, look, at these are unfulfilled tags.
No, you can't, because you have to.
You can't keep them?
No, you have to send them back to the government. And if you don't send them back to the government agency,
yeah,
they will come in your house with a search warrant and find them.
Wow.
They've done that to my my good friend Chris.
Wow.
They came in there and they knocked on the door and opened it right after. Came in with a search warrant. We're like, we've been sending you letters. We need that tag, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, it's just right here. I haven't mailed it. And they're like, well, we'll take it now, sir. And
hey, you know, it's door service. Well, here you go, guys. Thanks for coming to get it.
But, man, God forbid he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
You got the federal government knocking on your door.
That's pretty scary.
You know, hide the 15-year-olds tied up in the basement.
All right, take pictures of yourselves with the tags and then send the tags
exactly.
back. Because you don't want those guys showing up. Well, I'm glad to hear that you got a whole bunch of gators.
Yes.
You got that awesome one. Looking forward to seeing pictures of that thing taxidermied.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get this show started. Drew, you ready with the Netflix Instant Randomizer 9000?
Yes, sir.
So why don't you go ahead and shake that thing up. I want to get some music going in here.
Mm-hmm.
So every week we do a different Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Big Mike, if you'll please do the honors.
Whoa, beep, boop, beep, hitting all the buttons.
And hand it over to Drew so he can verify, make sure it's still on there. Because you know how Netflix does, man.
Yeah.
Taking things up, putting them down. What the heck?
Up and down and
so,
up and down.
So annoying. I wish they just had... They will never have everything, though. Because it's too expensive. The licensing rights, it's way too expensive. They only have, like, deals with two of the six studios right now. So, and if they wanted more deals, that's going to cost them way too much money. Then your Netflix subscription goes from $8 to $20. You're like, why is it so expensive? You know?
Oh, they lost me on the first round when they tried to double me up.
With the DVD thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so annoying. I eventually canceled my DVD subscription because, mm-hmm. like you said, they doubled it up. Yeah. And it's like the movies are just sitting there sometimes on my coffee table. But I'm thinking about getting back on it because
I'm thinking about it, too.
You know, there's movies that I want to see, and they're not on the Redbox. They're not, you know, I don't want to pay $4 to rent it via Amazon Instant Video.
Exactly.
It's just annoying.
It's way annoying.
It is. So Drew gave us a thumbs up. What's our Netflix pick of the week, please, Big Mike?
Oh, it's Desperado.
Oh.
And I sang it for you, too.
I do. The musical version of
That's
Desperado.
That's with Antonio Banderas?
Yes, sir.
Banderas.
Mm-hmm. Salma Hayek. Who else is in that?
Gotta love her.
Oh, man. She's... Love Salma Hayek. Who else is in this? And also Danny Trejo. Machete.
Yes.
Yeah. He has a small role where instead of machetes, he has small knives they throw at people.
Knives and like stars
and
everything.
Yeah, with like crosses on them and shit.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi, he's got a small role in it, you know.
Yeah.
It's great cast. Awesome movie. Robert Rodriguez film. It's his sequel to El Mariachi. You ever see that one? It's a Spanish language movie he did, and it cost him like $7,000 to shoot in Mexico. You never?
No.
It's fun. It's a fun movie. It's super cheap, but it's well made. So like after a few minutes, you don't even realize how cheap it is, and you're just into it. You know?
Nice. Yeah.
It's like a fun like Mexican exploitation movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a movie he did specifically for like the Spanish television market or the Spanish video market in Mexico. Yeah. But then the movie turned out to be pretty good. They got into film festivals, and then Robert Rodriguez was on his way. So he did the sequel, Desperado. He recast the lead to Antonio Banderas because, why not, right?
He was perfect.
No offense to the El Mariachi guy. He's cool. The guy who played the lead in El Mariachi, he played one of the guitar player buddies.
Wasn't it Gabriel Iglesias
No. They're just like normal dudes. Los Lobos does a lot of the soundtrack
really?
Stuff. Yeah, they're awesome. But like he has the two guitar player guys that at the end, like one of them has a rocket launcher guitar case. I think that guy was like the original El Mariachi.
Okay.
And then Banderas plays him in this one. It's a super fun movie. I really, really dig it.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's great, right?
I loved it. It's a bunch of shoot 'em up action.
Yeah, a lot of fun action.
Yeah.
Well shot. Cheech Marin is in it. Quentin Tarantino has a small little role, and then he gets shot in the face. Spoiler.
See, I thought that wasn't it like a paying homage to Dusk Till Dawn or something?
No, it was actually done right before Dusk. I think the order went Desperado and then Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Then I think the movie did after that was The Faculty. You ever see that one? The horror movie set in the high school.
I didn't see that one. Horror movies don't really lift my skirt.
Yeah, for me, it's got to be like a very specific kind of movie for me to really get into it. I'm not really into the genre. But with The Faculty, he went for some things that is like in my wheelhouse, like some John Carpenter type shit and stuff like that. But in the end, it was still felt like... a post-Scream world where all our horror films have, like, teenage kids in them and stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff got really annoying.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Exactly. But the Desperado, not like that at all. Great movie. Check that out. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew.
Chris.
Do we have the weekend? Are the weekend box office estimates up yet?
No. I can refresh and see if they
are. Refresh and see if they are. If not, we're working with the Friday estimates.
Weekend estimates are up.
Woohoo! All right, so what's the number five movie of the weekend?
Hang on, it's loading.
So if you want to donate a new Mac or Apple laptop to Drew Sitcogburn, please hit us up at cinemacrespedisto@gmail.com.
It'd be a nice Christmas present for me.
Be a great Christmas present for the show. We've only been asking for one for about 6 or 7 months now.
And my computer's a piece of crap, it happens.
Yes. So, Drew.
All right, number five this week. Thor: The Dark World.
All right.
Weekend gross at $2.7 million. Total gross of $198.125. Budget of $170.
All right, so Thor making some money.
Yep.
Yeah, still making it. It's an okay movie.
It wasn't bad. It was better than the first one.
What? Yeah.
It's a big budget, isn't it?
Yeah, all these Marvel movies are getting more and more expensive. Because after Avengers made $1.5 billion, like, okay, we have a little bit of money in the coffers now that we can spend on the product. And it worked out for him this time around. Because even though the budget went up for this Thor movie, it's making like $200 or $300 million more worldwide.
There you go.
So, but you know, that's the Avengers bump. We saw the Captain America trailer again the other day when we went and saw when we went to the theater. Have you
Is
seen
there
that?
A new Captain America coming out?
Captain America: The Winter Soldier comes out in April.
Is it like a sequel to the first one, or are they redoing it?
No, it's a sequel, so it's still the same Captain America, okay. And it all takes place in the Avengers Marvel timeline.
Okay.
This one has Robert Redford in it as like one of the heads of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation, and The way the movie's described is like a DC political thriller, like a 70s political thriller type thing.
Nice.
Sort of like All the President's Men, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, I think what they're doing with the Captain America series is fun, because the first one was like a World War II movie.
Yeah.
Because it was all set during World War II. And this one is now like a political thriller type of thing. So they're like playing with genres. It's not necessarily just a comic book movie.
That's cool.
It's like they're doing other things with
trying
it
too. Trying to draw in a broader audience.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they'll pull in some more older people. Again, like having Robert Redford in there. Mm-hmm. And the movie is very much about national security and stuff like that. That maybe they'll bring in an older, more discerning audience to their comic book movie.
Yeah.
Hence making more money, because that's what it's all about.
That's what a cha-ching, baby.
That's what happened with Thor. Did you get to see the new Thor at all? Or?
You know, I haven't seen any of the Marvel. You know, I've seen the Iron Man.
Iron Man, those are good ones. My favorite ones are the Iron Man.
Yeah, I've seen the Iron Mans. I think I've seen, how many are there? Three?
Three.
I think I've seen two. I saw the one with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
With the whips and all that jazz.
Yeah, that was kind of meh.
Yeah, that was a little bit different. That was like...
The new one that just came out this summer, I think it just came out on DVD pretty recently.
Okay.
It's a good one. For me, it's like up there with the first one. Those are kind of neck and neck for my favorite Iron Man movie. This one kind of, it has like Christmas. It involves some Christmas in it. So that kind of pushes over the top a little for me, because I love Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a fun Iron Man movie.
It'll be a good time then for it to be released on DVD.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's out by now.
Well, then good. Maybe that'll be one of my Christmas movies I take in this year.
There you go. All right, Juice, what's the number four movie of the weekend?
Number four movie of the weekend is The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Had a weekend gross $13.15 million. Woo. Total gross of $356.9 million.
It's made like another $350-400 internationally, so it's at like $700 million worldwide.
On a budget of $130 million.
Yeah. Yeah, that's money in the bank. Money in the bank.
Yeah, they probably got that in like pre-sale tickets at $130 million right out of the gate.
They did have like a monster when they do a preview screen, the Thursday night, the midnight show.
Yeah,
they had like a huge like $20 million like Thursday night screening or something. It was crazy.
I've seen the first Hunger Games. I haven't seen this new one yet.
Right on.
But I was a big fan of it, you know, because I'm into hunting and the woods and that whole aspect of it.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And I was a big fan of it. I liked it a lot.
Well, I like this one more than I liked the first one.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I've been telling people. If you like the first one, then I think you're really going to like
the
second
one. Yeah, I like the first one.
The second one has a new director who he's a better director than the first guy. So the action looks better. The movie just, you know, looks better overall, and it's a pretty good story. There's a new game at the end, so you'll still get a lot of that same, like, in the woods survival type of thing going on. But it has more also to do with the ramifications of the games and the uprising of the poor people, you know, that's like bubbling the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's like the first one, but with extra stuff added into it. I think it works pretty well, actually.
I'm ready. I'm going to, as soon as that one comes out.
Yeah.
The wife, I believe, has bought the first one, and because you know me, we don't go to the theaters a lot.
Right,
it's a big spectacle type of movie.
Yeah.
So she buys them all. She's read all the books for the Hunger Games.
Oh, so she's really into them.
She's ready for it. So,
she really liked the first movie then after reading the books.
Yeah, she did.
Cool. I like to know what the people that read the books. I would like to know what they think about the movies, because I haven't read the books at all.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, she was reading it before because she saw it all coming out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So she read.
So she jumped
on
it. All right.
She jumped on board.
Smart. Cool.
So that way she kind of had an idea of what was coming.
Reading is fundamental.
Good for your brain.
I do like how with these young adult novels being made into popular books that or popular movies, I should say, that it's kind of encouraging more reading. That was a big part of the Harry Potter phenomenon.
Yeah.
That kids were like super excited about a book coming out and they were lining up at bookstores to buy a book. Yeah. Even though
Not just kids. I read.
I know. Everyone, adults, blah, blah, blah.
I heard a report that apparently.
It was a fourth quadrant type deal.
Yeah. Apparently, like this whole young adult thing that, you know, people are reading.
Yeah.
Apparently, like 85%. Of the people who are buying it aren't young adults.
They're the adults.
They're actually adults who are reading this garbage.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, but they're reading though, and they're excited about books coming out and reading them. So that's you know, good.
What was it? Probably through like the 90s and early 2000s, nobody was reading anything.
It felt like that, right? It felt like that was the heyday of books are going to the wayside.
They're going to the wayside.
Television's making everyone's brains into mush. That type of whole
now
thing.
Now the books are coming back. The Kindle Fires and all these things are.
I think technology too is helping.
Kind of helping
with
it. Yeah, thrusting it forward. You can have 1,000 books in your pocket.
That's true.
You know, that's good for society anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get them reading. Get that brain moving.
But that, I mean, information and fiction and nonfiction. Yeah. I think both are just as important. You know, a lot of people are like, I only read nonfiction because people feel like they're wasting their time with fiction books because it's like, oh, I need to be learning something. I need to, to get something new. But my argument is that with fiction books, you learn other things.
Imagination,
where the things about the human condition, universal truths that you can't get from a book about space or science. Yeah. You know, there's more to art than just, oh, it's pretty.
I'm a big biography type. You know,
biographies are great. I love a good biography.
Things like that, or you know, like what the like Goodfellas. You know, the wise guys.
Oh yeah, like true crime type stuff.
Donnie Brasco. Like recounting stories that they had to go through.
Yeah,
I like watching or reading those. Those are always fun.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Martin Scorsese's next one. That's based on a guy's memoir.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The Jordan Belfort, I think his name is.
Ooh, I might have to. I might have to read that.
Yeah, he wrote that. I think right after he got out of prison.
Nice.
Yeah, for all his like insider trading and shenanigans that he had going on. Looking forward to that movie. Hunger Games. So, yeah, Hunger Games is a good movie. You can go to chriscrespo.com to read my review of it. Drew, you got the number three movie?
Of course I do.
What do you got, buddy?
Number three movie this week is Tyler Perry's Made a Christmas. Tyler Perry Made a Christmas. Weekend gross $16 million, same as the total. Don't have a budget listed.
How much? $16 million?
$16 million.
That's a little low for a Tyler Perry Madea opening.
He made a Christmas
He
made a Christmas.
I didn't even know Tyler Perry had another movie coming out.
You know, actually, the marketing. I haven't seen much marketing for it, and I usually do see like, oh, here comes a new Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
I've only seen a few commercials for it. It's a rough time. I saw a thing that pointed out none of his other Madea movies ever came out during Christmas. They've all usually come out in April. Some in May, we're talking about like a spring, early summer type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they usually opened around 20 to 25 million on their way to making 60. Now it makes sense that since this is a Christmas movie, you open it around Christmas.
Yeah,
I get it. That makes sense. But maybe, I don't know, people didn't turn out the exact same number. 60
a lot
million
of good up. Movies are out during Christmas.
And people are super busy with Christmas and holiday related stuff.
Yep.
So it's not like you have a lot of time to be, I'm going to go see all these movies. Got to be picky choosy, you know? So how much did Best Man Holiday make this weekend? Is that still bringing in money? Is that why he's going up against that pretty much for
them? Best Man Holiday was at number 12 this week, made just over $1 million.
Just over $1 million. So that one's pretty much petered out then. So that, I thought maybe there'd be some direct competition there, but not really. I don't know. So Tyler Perry, I mean, he's not hurting. He's still the number one black grossing film director of
all
time. Dude,
he made he made a Christmas this year.
and he just made a Christmas. I read one review of this movie that said the best scene in the film is when he sits down, Madea sits down with a character played by Larry the Cable Guy.
And farts.
I'm sure there's farting involved.
Oh, yeah, with those two? For sure.
There's got to be a fart in there somewhere, right?
Larry the Cable Guy, huh?
But apparently that's the best scene in the movie.
Sure.
The rapport between those two. So
why not? Larry the Cable Guy is hilarious.
I saw Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. I love that the movie's called Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. He's not a cable guy at any point. He's still a health inspector in the movie, but that's his full name. But I saw that because it was filmed in the Central Florida area.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to see this. And I had more fun just picking out like, oh, I know where that is.
Yep.
I know that restaurant. I know this and I know that. But what annoyed me, though, at that movie is that they filmed it here, right? But they never mentioned like we're in Orlando or this is Central Florida. It was like the competition that they were building up to was the all city, all like Top Chef competition.
Yep.
They never mentioned where they were. I don't know.
I get excited when I hear like either TV shows or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Bring up Orlando.
Yeah. It's like, hey,
it's
a place that exists.
Other,
you know,
I was watching Four Christmases
the
other day on, you know, on cable or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Vince Vaughn's character's real name is Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
Right? His brothers are Denver, Dallas, because it was where they were all conceived.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, yeah, this Orlando. And I was like, boom. Mark one.
That's
really
funny.
Same thing happens to me with Sarasota. You'd be surprised how many movies are either based in
or shot
reference to Sarasota. Like we were just watching, what was that? crappy year old men, I think.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Or was no? It was either Grumpy.
It was Grumpy Old Men too.
Yeah, but
it was Odd Couple too.
The Odd Couple too.
Odd Couple too.
And the first opening scene, it's one of the dudes down in Florida, and it just says Sarasota, Florida, yeah, and I'm like, not again.
Or the opening of Day of the Dead from the 80s. It's in downtown Sarasota.
Well, most of the movie was filmed in Sarasota.
Well, most of the movie was filmed in a bunker somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So what were we talking about today? Oh yeah, Orlando, Leonard Cable guy. Yeah. I'm trying to bring it all back together. Made a Christmas. Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah.
The first official big film production to be shot in the Central Florida area back in 87.
Ernest was?
Ernest Saves Christmas.
Fantastic.
Because that's when the late 80s is when in Central Florida the powers that be decided we want to become Hollywood East. So that's how they lured Universal Studios.
They had the Lethal Weapon going on.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon 3. They filmed that over here. Exactly. They're trying to do film tax breaks and all that stuff. So if you watch Ernest Saves Christmas, you'll see a lot of stuff in the College Park area.
Okay.
A lot of old buildings that I don't even think are around anymore, like the old children's the old Science Center, which now it's like the art museum over here. So it's something different. You can see shots of downtown Orlando. There's like two buildings.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
Like the SunTrust building.
It's
like,
it's sad. And then a lot of shots of highway driving where it's just trees. Just trees. Like nothing is developed.
Turnpike.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So there you go. Brought it all back around. Christmas movie in Orlando, Ernest Saves Christmas, Tyler Perry Made a Christmas, number 3. So where are we at now?
Number 2.
What we got?
Number 2 this week, Frozen. Had a weekend gross $22.18 million. Total gross $164.38.
Man, that Frozen movie is making money.
Budget of $150.
That movie is making money.
My Facebook feed is Disney. Filled with parents and their kids going. I think that's why those make so much money.
Word of mouth.
Parents have to go too.
Yeah.
You get, and most times one parent gets stuck with like six kids.
take them all.
Yeah, you're going to the movie. Here you go. I'll take 2 hours at the house.
Yeah, right.
But what is that about? I haven't seen.
It's like it's a fairy tale type of thing that they made up. I think some sort of like it's like a snow miser type of thing.
Okay,
like a witch made the whole land frozen.
Okay,
and there's some sort of like princess or whatever, and they're gonna unfreeze the land.
Gotcha.
Something like that. The reviews have been really good, actually. Not all Disney movies get like really strong reviews. This one, people actually seem to be really liking it. Critics like it. So I'll probably check it out. I'll get around to it on the DVD or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the biggest fan of like the Disney animated stuff, the musical stuff. I'll go see Pixar movies.
Yeah.
But when it's just Disney animation, I don't know. That feels more, a little hokier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the Pixar because there's always like underlying stuff in there for dads and moms.
Yeah, there's stuff for everyone in the Pixar movies. Like, if you just like movies, if you're young, you're old, teenager, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone likes Wall-E or Ratatouille or something like that. You know?
Oh, Ratatouille is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So good. All right, so that brings us to what, number one?
Yes, sir.
Let's get into it.
Number one movie of the week, movie we saw this week.
Yes.
The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
The weekend gross is $73.67 million. Same as a total. Budget of probably something very large.
Oh, it doesn't say there?
No.
Actually, because they're making them concurrently, so the third movie's not even done. So they actually lumped it as all one budget. But I saw a while ago, I think we even reported on this show, that the average budget, the whole thing split into three movies, each movie costs like around $240 million to make. Whoa. Something like
so
that.
So ridiculous.
An insane amount of money to make these movies. But when they all make $1 billion.
Yeah, you really can't complain.
You can justify that expenditure.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what they all do. This opening, 73.6, you said?
Yeah.
Number 4 all-time opening weekend ever for the month of December.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of big movies come out in the month of December.
Huge movies. As a matter of fact, the two biggest movies ever, Titanic and Avatar, both opened up in December.
Wow.
But Avatar had a $77 million opening weekend, and so did I Am Legend, the Will Smith movie.
That was just on cable last night.
Was it?
Yeah.
I Am Legend. I liked the first hour of that movie.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I like the post kind of apocalyptic looking New York.
It's a great setting. It looks good. The guy who directed that movie, the guy who did the new Hunger Games film.
Really?
Yep. Same guy.
Boom.
But this one, Hunger Games, there's no like CGI humanoid characters to distract you. It's actually, Jennifer Lawrence. She's a very good person.
See, I always wonder how, because, whenever you see an actor coming out,
yep.
Like, say, Vince Vaughn,
yep.
He'll be coming out with something new for like 3 weeks prior, mm-hmm. all over the TV, you've got Vince Vaughn movies.
Right.
Or they're like shoving new movies down your throat.
That's because when you have like six companies control 90% of the media, it's easy for them to get the synergy going. Disney, you know, ABC, Disney, they own like 10, 15 channels. So let's put our Frozen commercials on all our channels that we own.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always easy to do stuff like that.
Me and I like to sit down and, you know, when something comes on cable, I look at the wife and be like, what movies are out right now with Will Smith in it? Or, like, why is this one on instead of Hang 'em High or whatever else is going
on? Any random movie that they could have
had
in the
library. And that's probably why. The director,
whoever, they got something coming out. And also, I noticed this, too. If I flipping through and I see a bunch of movies that, like, why is there an abundance of Pauly Shore movies out right now?
Yeah.
I'll go online. Oh, it's Pauly Shore's birthday. and things like that happen. Like, everyone's got the same idea, you know? I'll play son-in-law. You play In the Army Now, and we're good to go. You know?
Man, In the Army Now. That was a funny one.
Oh, man. I saw that one in theaters with my parents. And I remember they definitely didn't think it was funny. And but I was like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 or something. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is Pauly Shore. This is great. I'm sure if I watch it now, I'd be like,
the Weasel.
Garbage.
I still like Son-in-Law and Biodome.
Oh, it,
I'll watch those two movies
awesome.
Over Son-in-Law and over.
Is hilarious.
Son-in-Law is ridiculous. That's the one that got Pauly Shore like where he was. That's the one that got him all the subsequent movie deals.
Yeah,
because that's actually, people really like that movie. They play it on like CMT all the time.
Yeah,
you know, because it's about like, you know, the
farm,
the country farm living. Yeah. You know, they're all uptight, but then they meet the Wheeze and they all chillax. But the Wheeze learns to like farm and the virtues of good American living.
Chillax, buddy, squishy cheeks.
So ridiculous. Man, now we got into Pauly Shore. But The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
They said it.
I read that Pauly Shore plays the dragon.
I was wondering if they were ever going to say the Desolation
would they
of
ever
Smaug.
Say
it? And they did. They said it.
Actually,
it was awesome.
In all the Lord of the Rings movies, they have a habit of saying all the chapter titles.
Yep.
They say them all in the dialogue. Yep. They make that a point. Like, oh,
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That was the Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he said it.
He said it.
They should have, when that happens, they should have a part in the soundtrack that goes bing bing.
Yep.
Like, got it.
Or someone pops up and goes, there
he
it
said
is.
It.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And then disappears. So we saw The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug. Are you a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies?
Like the original
three at all? Or
I've never seen one all the way through.
Okay.
They're long.
That's the thing. I feel like I sit down and I'm like, wow, this has got another 2.5 hours left.
Yeah.
I got a lot I could be doing. Like, I don't want to.
And then there are two more movies after that.
And exactly. And I'm like, I feel like. Like, when I first watched The Godfather back in the day, you know, I just watched all of them straight in a row.
Yeah.
I just completely was, I wasn't feeling well, was sick, stayed home.
Oh, those are
school,
that's perfect. Yeah.
And boom, just wasted the day on The Godfather.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's what I need to do one of these days with Lord of the Rings. Just
got
to
get good and sick.
Good and sick. And just waste like 2 days watching Lord of the Rings.
Because it would be, watching the first three, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The Hobbit, you know, I wouldn't be like, because the first Hobbit movie that came out last year, they took the Hobbit book and they split into three movies.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. And that first movie was so boring, man.
Jeez, three movies out of one book.
Right. Yeah.
Good golly.
Exactly. Complete opposite. Before, they had three massive books that they had to whittle down into three movies. And it worked great because the movies are fascinating.
Whew.
The Hobbit, everything. So stretched out.
It must be running out of money.
Oh, you would think so, but again, they make $1 billion each. The number one all-time December opening movie was The Hobbit. Was the one that came out last year at like $84 million. A movie, there's never been a $100 million opening weekend in December, so that throws people off. Like, I remember when years ago, King Kong came out, speaking of Peter Jackson.
Yep.
I think that was 2005. It opens like $66 million, which at that time was like well within the top 10, maybe even top 5 opening weekends in December.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, they don't do the research. They just see $66 million opening weekend. This is King Kong. It should have made $200 million.
Yeah.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. And people write about King Kong flopping opening weekend when in fact it was like a super strong opening, you know? And it's because people love to report on box office business.
Yep.
Just because they see the top 5 every week.
Uh-huh.
You know, they go, I know movies. But they don't know
You got to leave it to the pros at Cinema Crespo Dizzo. They'll let you know.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, Mike. That's exactly where we're going with that one.
Little fun fact about me. That was the last movie that I went to opening weekend.
Which one?
King Kong.
Really? That long ago?
My grandfather was, at the time, you know, he's still alive, and he was dying to see that movie.
Interesting.
And me, a couple of my cousins, my dad, my brother, we all saddled up, took Grandpa to go see King Kong. He'd been waiting to see it.
That's awesome.
And because he was a huge fan of the first ones.
Right, yeah, from the 33. Yeah. I love that movie.
He was a huge fan of the first ones, and he really wanted to see it, so we took him out. And that was the first time in 2000, that was the first time he ever went to Taco Bell.
Oh, really?
We brought him to Taco Bell. And he was blown away that, like, you know, prices are 29, 39, 49 cents.
Yeah, everything's super cheap there, yeah.
And he was not accustomed to that. And he was eating this, I'm just off, just a weird tangent, but he's eating Taco Bell and he's like, this is the best 40 cents I've ever spent like, in my entire life. And, you know, he's like, I've been seeing prices for pennies, you know, for like change since I was a kid. And so he was like a kid again.
Yeah, it blows him away. Yeah, yeah. You don't see a price like that.
Yeah, and he
anymore.
Was like, man, 39 cents for a taco? How does this place stay in business? I'm like, man.
That's great. And did he enjoy the Peter Jackson King Kong?
Yeah, he did. He liked
it. Was it a little long for him? That was a long movie. It's bloated.
I don't remember if him saying how long, you know, talking about being the long. I do remember he loved the part just before they started shooting him up.
Yeah.
You know, like when he was skating on the ice and it was like all tranquil.
Yeah, had a nice little moment.
And then skadoosh, here comes like tanks and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He loved that part. He was like giggling and like, look at the monkey swimming on the ice. I just remember that part like so vivid. Like, I can see my grandfather laughing at King Kong like sliding around on the ice.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that part. That's great. That's nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Fun memory.
All right, so The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug. I thought the first one was boring, but this one was all right.
Yeah.
All right, Drew?
Totally.
What would you say about this, what did you tell people about
it? Ended, if you had a problem with the last way the Hunger Games ended, you will definitely have a huge problem with the way this movie ended.
This movie does that thing where like it ends.
It's like building, building, building. You're like, oh, it's going to be so awesome. Yeah,
like something crazy is going to happen. And cuts to black.
Like a Sopranos ending?
Yeah, yeah. Except more like, you know, see you next year for the conclusion of this tale. You want
to watch the end of it? Another $16.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, just give me one complete story.
Yeah.
Even the last Hobbit movie didn't do that. That one still gave us a complete story, even though it was like part of an overall journey. That's what the other three, the Lord of the Rings movies, they're all complete movies.
Okay.
And sure, they set up what happens in the future films, but it's not like it leaves you with the feeling of like, oh, what happens next? And this one totally has an ending where it's like, here we go, just like you said, and cuts to black.
Oh.
It's like, oh, so weak.
Oh, man.
So that one knocks it down for me a couple pegs. You know, I would have liked it even more, but with that kind of ending, I can't tell people to
run out
of
the maybe the ending to the third one is going to be super epic.
It has to be, because they're finally going to end it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing else to tease or a cliffhanger or a song.
Finish him.
Yes, finish it. Please, Peter Jackson, finish it. We're done with these Hobbit movies.
No Seriously.
More, no more Hobbit movies. But it's okay enough. I'd be like, you know, hey, if you are a fan of the Lord of the Rings, it might be worth checking out a matinee of it. I mean, there are some good scenes. There's some humor.
Yeah.
It moves pretty quickly. You know, it's not as boring as the first one because all the characters are already introduced. So they can just jump right into the action, right into the story. So that's, you know, that's cool. So anyway, I'd say it's a matinee or else, you know, Redbox it. What about you, Drew?
It's really long. Seat at home.
Drew says Redbox it.
Yep.
At the very least. All right. So so many movies came out or coming out on DVD this week. It's got to be because of Christmas.
Yeah, for sure.
It has to be. It's insane.
The Xmas.
The Family, which is that movie with Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. No, it was not good.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah, from the director of The Professional and The Fifth Element. The guy is a really good director, Luc Besson. He's a really good director. And it was a fun setup. You know, an Italian-American family connected to the mob. They do witness protection in France. But it just wasn't...
Didn't get you?
Nah.
See, I was excited to see that. And I'm excited to see, because all the mafia guys, like De Niro, Pesci, you know, Dominic Chinese, all these guys that we grew up watching as like the muscle in the mob, they're now older.
Right.
So I've been waiting like 15 years to start these new generation of mafia movies coming out where now De Niro can be playing a boss.
Yeah.
Pesci can be playing a boss. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the aged mafia guys.
Yeah,
the
age, underneath exactly.
Them.
I'm trying to...
I have heard about one project called The Winter of Frankie Machine, which is supposed to be based on a book, like a true book about a real guy. And it's about his later years as a mob boss. De Niro's been circling that one for a while with different directors. I heard recently that it might get made again, you know, maybe with Michael Mann. Scorsese at one point almost directed it. So there are things like that are in the works.
I would love, of course, Scorsese to team back up with De Niro.
One more time.
Maybe you get Leo to play the younger guy.
Yeah, that'd be
get
cool,
get both
right?
of his kind of...
His muses? His,
yeah, both yeah, of his yeah. guys to kind of be in one. Just get the whole team back together.
That would be fun.
You know, that would be... I think it needs to happen. Yeah. I'm waiting for it to happen. Look how good The Sopranos did.
It did great.
And there really hasn't been much mafia-based movies or, you know... Like
they're doing the Boardwalk Empire, but that's a very specific time period.
And that's even not even really mafia. That's kind of a guy who has ties with mafia.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and
yeah,
has
yeah.
ties with the black gang, the ties with the Jewish,
with,
you know,
with the police and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's more of a political, of a political guy than it was a mafia guy.
That makes more sense. Yeah,
you know, I'd rather watch a full thing of Capone and Johnny Torrio than I would with Nucky Thompson.
Yeah, yeah,
he's boring as hell.
In the grand scheme, right?
Yeah,
he's just the guy that connects everything, but puts it all together.
Sure, it's not the way it's all played out and portrayed, but that's actually a real character, Nucky Johnson.
Yeah.
Enoch Johnson was actually a real character. And
yeah, well, just about all the characters in that show are based on, in some way, you know, or maybe in combinations of real people.
Yeah.
Or it's straight up the new Capone, like
you
said.
Exactly.
You know, I think you might, the family, I don't think it's going to, like, change your world or anything, but I, you know, if you rent it.
Be worth watching.
I think, you know, sit down, the right state of mind, you know what I mean? I think you'll enjoy it.
It seems kind of like a funny, does it try and be funny?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a comedy.
Okay.
It's definitely supposed to be funny.
Okay.
And there are parts that are, I'm like, yeah, that's funny.
All right.
You know, I didn't necessarily laugh.
Yeah.
I would say, no, that's funny. Yeah. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, a sequel to Percy Jackson, Lightning Thief. That first one was actually, I caught the first Percy Jackson movie on HBO, and actually surprised me. It was watchable.
That was the one with...
The young kid. I don't even know his name, but he plays a young Perseus, like a modern-day Perseus, and then he finds out about it. Instead of having...
Pierce Brosnan was in it, right?
Yes.
Like a centaur?
Yes, that one.
Okay.
That one. I think he has a small role in this one, too. He comes back as a centaur. But the reviews for this one weren't as good. It was like, if you thought the first one was all right, you might be disappointed by this one. So.
I always like him because I've always been a big fan of that whole Greek mythology. All that old, you know.
I enjoy it. That's what I liked about the first one. The way they wove some of that stuff into a modern world. It was kind of inventive, some of the things they did.
Yeah, cool. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I was surprised. And then it didn't make that much money. I was surprised they made the sequel. This one, Sea of Monsters, now has a bunch of sea monsters. It sounds like fun. So I'll probably eventually when this one gets on HBO, I'll watch it just like I saw the first
one. I felt like
it
was a weird timing for that the Perseus we're talking about now to come out because it was right after the Wrath of the Titans.
Right, those movies came out too. So now you had two Perseus movies.
Two Perseus
in theaters.
Yeah. It's like I think you're confusing people here.
Yeah. And then they call him Percy Jackson. Yeah. You know, so it's like kind of muddling the marketing.
Didn't they change the dad from Zeus to Poseidon?
Did they?
The person, because Percy Jackson, the new one, or the modern day one, he could sit underwater forever.
Oh.
Because they said, that's the son of Poseidon.
There you go.
When Perseus was the son of Zeus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kind of saw some...
They mixed things up.
Yeah, I saw some spots where I was like, I feel like you're not really keeping true to the Greek mythology.
It, too hard.
It is. I'm going into it too much.
No, that's funny, though, because it's like... How much do you stick with?
Well, you can't change the guy's dad.
That is pretty...
Perseus was the son of Zeus.
It's like remaking Star Wars, and then Han Solo is Luke Skywalker's father.
Exactly.
It's like, wait a second.
Yeah, wait a minute.
There's no... That's funny. The Lone Ranger is coming out on DVD, which is odd. That was disappointing. I
haven't seen it, but I'm going to watch it.
It's worth checking out. Just even if you don't like it, it's worth seeing where all that money went. Because it's like a $200 million movie, $215 million. It's a huge production. And then some of the choices they make is like, why? Why are they doing this?
Looks like Captain Jack dressed as an Indian.
It is a little bit. It has some of that vibe to it. It's the same director, Gore Verbinski.
Okay.
Well, but the thing is, he made Rango, the animated movie, which was
so
a Western.
Awesome.
It's a great movie, and it's a Western. And then he made Lone Ranger like a Western, and I think he totally
lost it.
Yeah, he did. It was kind of a shame.
I'll watch it. I'll give that one a try.
Elysium, the Matt Damon sci-fi movie from earlier this summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out. I'm a big fan of that one. I recommend people check that one out.
I'll definitely see that one. I've been wanting to see that one. I've been waiting for that to come out.
That's a cool one.
Is that made it on demand yet? Like on my TV yet?
It should be by Tuesday.
Woohoo!
By Tuesday should be on demand. Actually, some of these movies now, they put them on demand in streaming services a couple weeks before they put them out on DVD.
Yeah.
They've been doing that lately. So who knows? Maybe it's on demand right now. Might have to pay an extra dollar or two, though.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass 2, the disappointing sequel to Kick-Ass. Comes out. I enjoyed the first one. Did you see that first one?
I didn't. That's with Christopher Mintz Plasse.
Yes. And what's his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah, he played Big Daddy, who was like kind of a Batman type of thing. He was the best part of that one.
I've seen, you know, bits and pieces, but I've never sat down and saw the whole thing. Taken it in.
It's the first one's good. It's a fun movie. The second one's a little disappointing. So I would be like, you know, if you want to see him, check out the first one, but don't even really bother with the second one. Yeah, not really. Although Jim Carrey is in the second one.
Really?
Yeah, and he's great.
Not for long though,
which is part of the problem. Prisoners, that Hugh Jackman movie with Terrence Howard, where their kids get taken and they're looking for their kids.
Yeah, where's my son?
Yeah, that type of deal. It's a pretty intense movie, and it's not bad. It's actually pretty good. It's a little long. It's a little dour.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, get the family together and watch it on Christmas
Day. Is it like a whodunit, or do you know?
It's a mystery. It's a mystery all the way up until the very end.
I enjoy a good mystery.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm the type of guy who I like try and ruin it for everyone else in the room.
It's this person. It's that person.
And I just shoot out. Until the movie's over, I shoot out enough to where at the end of the movie, I'm like, I told you.
I called it, man.
I told you. And they're like, you named every character. And I'm like, well I was right.
I told you.
I tried to tell you.
Well, then you'll have fun doing that with this one, because that's totally like, it's totally a whodunit. Like,
yeah.
Did this guy do it? Did he not do it? But there's other stuff in there, too. Some interesting, like, moral conundrum stuff. How far would you go to, like, find your own kids? That type of thing.
To the ends of the world.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so there's stuff like that in this
God
movie.
Forbid there's someone out there that got information about my kid.
And you
got
to get it somehow, right? So that's very much what Prisoners is about. It's good. And The Croods comes out on DVD for the kids. And so there you go. Drew, what's come out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, Anchorman 2.
Anchorman 2. The Legend Continues. Here we go.
Second dose of Ron Burgundy.
Let's see if they can pull it off. Can they make sequel that's as good?
I'm ready.
No, they can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. I think it's possible. But yeah, you never know. This could be the one.
It's not.
It could be the one to buck the rule.
It's not.
But you said no. You know, so long as it's half as funny, give me some Ron Burgundy and some what's it, Champ Kind. You know, give me some of them guys. I'm not going in to be like thrilled or.
Give me a couple of good belly laughs.
That's all I need. That's it. I know the characters now. You know, Brick's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Rudd's trying to be a ladies' man, whatever the case is.
Right.
Give me some good laughs and let's roll.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I want it to be good.
I really hope it's good, too.
We're going to find out, though. We're going to find out soon enough.
Scotch.
Scotchy scotch.
I love scotch.
What else is coming out, Drew?
Now, also coming out this weekend, American Hustle.
American Hustle, man, this is getting a lot of rave reviews.
The new David O. Russell movie.
A lot of critics, like Golden Globes nominations just came out, stuff like that, and they're getting nominated for acting and directing and all this stuff.
It's an all-star cast.
Incredible cast,
all-star
right?
All-star cast. I mean, geez, a loop.
And they're all doing this whole great 70s period thing with the hair and the clothes and like 70s trash type of look.
Like on the trailer, Bradley Cooper is on the phone and he's got his perm in.
Yep.
He's got all his curlers.
Yeah. He's like, I'm the quarterback.
Oh, man.
I'm calling the shots.
Looks so crazy.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, so hopefully, again, I mean, the reviews are good, so I think we should all enjoy it, but I'm hoping that's going to be a real knock him out of the park one. And anything else? There's more coming out, right?
Yeah, Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh, man, that's the one about the making of Mary Poppins.
Correct.
Mary Poppins. I keep trying to explain to my wife what that is. She's like, so is it about Walt Disney? Is it about who's Mr. Banks? Like, who?
Yeah, it is.
It's about all those things.
If you watch the trailer, it turns out that Mr. Banks is the father of the lady who wrote Mary Poppins, so it's all about that in some way. But yeah, it's about... What's her name? Travers. I think P.L. Travers was the name of the writer. And how she didn't want the Harry Potter. She didn't want a Mary Poppins movie. And then finally she's like, okay, but I don't want it to be a musical. I don't want this. I don't want that. And Walt Disney's like, but this is what we do. This is what we want to do. Just trust us. I'm Walt Disney.
Yeah.
So the movie's very much, I mean, it looks interesting.
It's Tom Hanks.
It is Tom Hanks. Walt Disney. Right. And I've been reading that it's one of the best movies about Disney, you know, one of the best non-Disney Disney movies, I guess you can say, to come out in a very, very long time.
Now, has there been many movies about Disney itself?
About the making of Disney?
Or the man?
There hasn't been much about the man.
He's
kind of shadowy a little bit.
Yeah, like, all I know is that he's still frozen, right?
Head's frozen somewhere, right next to a bottle of scotch. I actually did read it out here. In this one, they don't show him drinking or smoking at all, which is a bit of a sanitization of the... And plus, I don't think there's any talk about his, you know, love of the Nazis.
Yeah.
I think they swept that under
the rug. They probably do.
Yeah, there's no reason to put that in with Mary Poppins.
We don't need to talk about the Nazis. Yeah. What else is coming out?
Walking with Dinosaurs in 3D.
Walking with Dinosaurs looks like it's a Disney thing.
The Land Before Time in 3D.
Land Before Time and Writ Large. They made so many of those Land Before. They made so many of those movies. Like, if you look it up, they made like 13, 14 of them.
I only saw like the first three.
I know. I saw like the first one, but they made so many Land Before
Time movies.
I saw
the first one when I was younger. Well, when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, there are family movies, and then there are kids movies.
Yeah.
Land Before Times, those are all kids movies. Yeah. Once he hit like 10, it's like, all right, I'm done.
He's old enough to be driving, okay? We can get off of him.
Yeah, we're leaving Land Before. We're leaving that behind. Anything like that, we're leaving behind. All right, anything else coming out?
Her.
The Spike Jones movie.
Yes, Spike Jones.
That's a limited.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix movie. That's a limited release, though. We probably won't get to see it until January. This one looks really good, Mike. It's where it's in a distant future. Joaquin Phoenix plays this guy who's kind of socially awkward. He's divorced. And he gets like the first like fully developed AI for his computer.
Okay.
And the AI voice is a lady voice.
And he falls in love with
her. Maybe the lady. Yeah. Yep. ScarJo's the voice.
I would fall in love too.
That's a good voice to fall in love to. And then maybe the AI falls in love back with him, type of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
That would be tough to procreate.
Tough to consummate.
Yeah, I don't know that the USB port is big enough.
Well, it is a distant future, so who knows?
Maybe there is.
Invented by then.
Some kind of
there are things out there right now. USB
kind of,
plug-in things.
Glory hole portal?
Yeah. Basically.
If you Google that, you might be surprised what comes up. Cinema Crespediso does not suggest you Google.
No, bad suggestion.
But it could be good, though. But I don't think we're going to get a chance to see it till January, unfortunately. It's just one of these things where they put out in limited theaters in L.A. in December so it can qualify for the Oscars.
Okay.
In February.
Is that why they do that?
Yeah.
Slam it out so they can qualify?
Yep. They squeeze them out towards the end of the year so it can qualify. And they tried to get these movies to come out as close to the Oscars
be
as possible.
Be on their mind.
So they're fresh. But then in the last few years, there's been some, like Argo came out at the beginning of October. And so people weren't thinking, oh, this is going to be an Oscar contender because it came out so early. But as the season kept going, and it just got more momentum,
they
more people kept
lot,
seeing it,
they?
And Argo got Best Picture.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting Best Picture, even though it came out in October. So that there's no real science behind Oscar prognostication.
Wasn't that Affleck's, it was only his second time after, was it Good Will Hunting?
Winning an award, yes. Yeah, because he won for writing. For Good Will Hunting, and this one he won for directing. Huge
that's a
gap
long
between
time. Gap right there, but that's good.
That's because he acted in between, and he's no good at it.
He's not that great of an actor.
Yeah.
Although he is our next Batman. We'll see how that works out. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got something to do, and then we're going to come back for a second half of the show. So I got a couple songs for the Crespo Disco.
Something very important
to do. We're going to chill it out here for a second. I got from the Kill Bill Volume 1 soundtrack by Nancy Sinatra. Bang Bang, Shot Me Down. It's a song that plays over the opening credits of Kill Bill.
I think I love this song.
It's really like it's really soft chill song. It's really really good, and it's a perfect way to set up the movie too. I love it. And then I got a track off the There Will Be Blood soundtrack. Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist for Radiohead,
is the controller.
He is the controller, and this song is called Oil. So here you go, guys. Enjoy these two songs. We're gonna be right back with the second half of episode 49.
I smell grapes.
I'm sitting across with you.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down. Seasons came and changed the time. When I grew up, I called him mine. He would always laugh and say, remember when we used to play? Bang, bang, I shot you down. Bang, bang, you hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, I used to shoot you down. Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang. Now he's gone, I don't know why, and till this day sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang, he shot me down, bang, bang, I hit the ground, bang, bang. That awful sound, bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
Welcome to the Crespo
Show. Welcome to the second half, episode 49 of Cinema Crespo Diesel. It is me, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Juicer Cockburn Drew.
What up? Yeah.
And Big Mike.
Yeah, buddy. What's going on?
Hanging out, man. We got so much to talk about. We got to talk about comic book news. We got Blockbuster UK stories. We're gonna talk about trailers. We got questions. But first, let's get all them plugs out of the way.
Yes.
Big Mike, where can people find you online?
Online, swamppatrol.com.
Swamppatrol.com.
And that's got our shirts, our hats, our stickers, our patches.
Nice. What kind of shirts you got over there? Like, I see you're wearing one right now, actually.
Yep.
It's got, it's a t-shirt, but it's got the camo thing going on.
Yeah, camo thing going on. It's got the show small logo.
Your swamp logo?
The swamp logo, small logo. And on the back, Swamp Patrol
nice.
Written out of the back. Very and nice. We got it in white or blaze orange, hunter orange.
Cool.
So that way it so helps you.
You don't get shot by other hunters?
Exactly. Well, when you go out there hunting, you legally got to have, I believe it's 160 centimeters of orange
okay.
on your body.
Oh, wow. It's legally
oh, yeah.
how much yet? Wow.
How much you have on. So you
did
can.
Did not know that.
It's better to have more, though.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
I'd go out there in like the most brightest yellow. Like
exactly. It's really for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
A
yeah.
giant orange suit. Just yeah, full hey, body.
With lights and sirens. And when, like you're scaring no, away no the sirens. Animals. Like, yeah. I don't care, man. I don't yeah. want to get shot out
as
here.
As long as you saw me. You know, whenever I hunt on public land, you go out there, you know, like Bull Creek or Buck Lake or something.
Uh-huh.
There is plenty of guys out there in complete orange.
Yeah.
They're up in a tree stand. You can see them from 2 miles away, but yep. the deer can't.
Right.
You know, it's orange. They can't see them, so they're all good.
Yeah, see, what was that, a berry? I don't
and
know.
Here I am wearing, like, you know, exact camo blending into a tree. And he's, like, got orange, and he gets a bigger buck than me. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
what in the world, man? I don't know what's going on.
It's all luck of the draw, man.
But, yeah, swamppatrol.com.
Swamppatrol.com.
And then we also got a fun shirt, man. You know the tuxedo t-shirt.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's similar to that, but it's overalls.
Nice.
The overall t-shirt.
Yeah, overall t-shirt. You throw that on with a pair of jeans, I guarantee you're going to have people hollering at you.
People thinking you're wearing overalls.
Every time I wear it out, I have at least 4 people approach me and tell me how much they love the shirt.
Awesome. So people can get that one at swamppatrol.com.
Yep. And they want to follow us on Facebook.
Yes.
They can see all of our kind of hunting adventures and, you know, just the fun we have.
Is that Orlando Swamp Patrol?
Orlando Swamp Patrol. It's also on Swamp Patrol on Facebook and Orlando Swamp Patrol.
Uh-huh.
But the one with Orlando in it is kind of upkept a little bit more, I believe.
Right on. Right on. All right, so people, like it, follow them, go to the website, buy some shirts.
Yeah.
Please.
It's fun.
It's good stuff. Drew.
What up?
Where can people find you? Online.
At Antihero419 on Twitter and Instagram.
There you go, guys. Very simple. Direct Instagram this guy, pictures of yourselves, ladies.
We're friends, too, on Instagram. We follow each other.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We're all following each other.
That's how
other,
I get to see you guys' new awesome shirt.
Yeah, you can check that out at the Instagram.com/CinemaCrespodiso.
And here in a couple weeks, you'll actually, I'm sure
people, the first order of shirts are coming in
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, I've got my order
they'll
in.
They'll be there.
Big Mike's got his. I got mine.
They'll be in soon enough.
Can't wait.
You can check out the show back episodes on ChrisCrespo.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, AirCheck.us, and then, of course, you can go to facebook.com/CinemaCrespodiso. I already said the Instagram. And on Twitter, I am at IamChrisCrespo. Did you get all that? No. Rewind it. It's a podcast.
And I got to give a shout out. I talked to my cousin on the way here, and Curtis had to say what's up to you guys.
All right, Curtis. Friend of the show.
A fellow part of the world.
Yes, we love Curtis. We love the guy.
And
he was on here twice.
Yep, and we both kind of represent our radio show on 91.5.
Yes, we can't forget the radio show, the Curtis Earth Show.
Exactly.
91.5 WPRK. You can listen to it online at WPRK.org.
Yep.
Because we have a lot of, you know, people in other states are listening. Mm-hmm. And so they all can't get the local college radio goodness. You know, I do listen to that station, like, almost on the reg, like
it's
when I'm driving
awesome.
Around. A lot of great, great music
yes.
on that station.
You know, the funnest part about that whole station is that every 2 hours, the format completely changes.
Yes, it does.
There's a new DJ every 2 hours.
Yep.
And sometimes it might be, or maybe even an hour. Could be something about sports. Could be like us. We do trivia, music.
Yep.
We have you on every week to do.
Yep, I call on every week around 6:30 to talk movies.
Yep.
Yep.
So if people want to tune in and hear more Crespo.
But on Curtis's terms.
Yeah, on Curtis's terms, yeah.
Yeah, which means I have to, like, duck those trivia questions and, like, be on my toes constantly for that stuff.
Oh, hey. Now you know how I feel.
Now I know Drew feels.
When Drew's Curtis is in charge, anyone who comes in, he's, like, asking them questions. And you know what else? He gets offended if you ask him questions.
Oh, if you try to turn it on
yes.
him?
He feels like it's above him, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's fun.
Well, that's a good thing I warned him ahead of time. I was like, hey, when you come on this show, you're coming under our auspices.
Yes,
which includes Drew Secogran versus the world.
Well, he's all in for that.
He is all in for it. And then he brought his own questions. It's like, oh, here we go.
Exactly.
Those trivia tit for tat, man.
You're not going to out trivia me.
Oh, it was good times.
We love Curtis.
So there you go. Check out all that great stuff and follow it, like it, review it, whatever you got to do internet wise to make it all more popular, right?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to start with some movie news. Got some things to talk about here. First off, we know we got the Spider-Man movies, right? Yes. You know, all right, so the Marvel, Disney, Marvel Universe, they're expanding their whole thing. They're all about making a bunch of movies that are loosely connected, and then they come together in the Avengers yes. movies, right? They're making Avengers 2, Avengers 3. That's changing the way now other people are making movies. Sony, in conjunction with announcing that they're making fewer films and they're spending less money on movies, they announced their expansion of the Spider-Man universe. Because Sony, they have the rights to Spider-Man.
Yes. Okay.
All right, that's not the Disney Marvel brand. That's a separate Marvel deal that's still going on. As okay. long as they keep making Spider-Man movies, then the deal keeps renewing it. And then if they go like 5-6 years without making one, then the rights will revert back to Marvel.
What were the two different Spider-Mans? Like, I can remember different Batmans. Did you, which...
There was Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, which was with the Tobey Maguire.
Okay, I'm familiar with that.
That was like 2002 to like 2006 or something, 2007. And then before the rights could revert back to Marvel, they made The Amazing Spider-Man, which came out a couple years ago
yep.
with Andrew Garfield, the kid from The Social Network.
Yes.
He's like a British-American dual citizenship type thing going on. Really cool guy, he seems like. I like him. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
So that movie came out, and it was okay. But that was a retelling, though, of the origin story.
Yes.
They're redoing it their own way. So they have The Amazing Spider-Man 2 coming out this summer.
I got you.
And there's like two or three villains already. They got Jamie Foxx's Electro. They got a green Goblin's back, a younger Green Goblin.
Okay.
And they have, who's the third? Drew, who's the third villain?
What?
Amazing Spider-Man
Osborn.
Green Goblin, Electro, and
Rhino.
Who's playing Rhino
in suit, though?
Paul Giamatti.
It's in suit.
And he's like a mech suit Rhino. Yeah. It's weird looking. It's very strange looking.
Wow. You remember the Rhino from... what was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Bebop and Rocksteady. Yeah. They remember those awesome. Guys. Those guys were cool.
A rhino and like a pig?
It was a big pig. But they were just like a punk rock.
Yeah.
Punk rock, rock and roll.
Because yeah,
they were like teenage punk rockers that got mutated with the ooze. Ridiculous. So what Sony's doing, they're doing three Spider-Man movies with this Andrew Garfield kid, right? But then they announced an Amazing Spider-Man 4, and Andrew Garfield was like, oh, I got nothing to do with that movie. So Sony just announced what this is all about. Actually, what's going on is they are making a Venom movie, and they're making a Sinister Six movie.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So instead of building up a whole bunch of movies, so it's like a team up of superheroes. They're making a movie that's going to be a team up of
super villains.
Super villains, not Skart and Dom, though.
No. Not those supervillains. Not these supervillains. Random supervillains.
I gotcha.
So it looks like they're going to be making a movie that'll probably have feature Lizard, Rhino, Green Goblin, Vulture, and Doc Ock, Dr. Octopus. Actually, if you look in the trailer for the new Spider-Man movie, you can see like Doc Ock's arms like in a case somewhere ready to be used. You know? So they're obviously bringing that character back. But their plan is they want to now expand their Spider-Man universe and make movies that are just about the bad guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is pretty interesting,
right? Bad guys need love, too.
No one's ever done anything like that. Imagine a Batman movie that's really just about all the, like an Arkham Asylum movie, and it's really just about all the villains.
Yeah.
And Batman's barely in it.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Let's face it, I think the best one, the best parts of that Batman was with
the
Joker. It's
always the villains.
Yeah, it's always the best part.
Yeah, the Batman movies are always as good as the villains. As good as mm-hmm. the villains are, as good as...
Exactly.
But he has the best villains, too. Best yeah. rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious 7, right? They had to pull out of their... They were coming out in July 2014. They had a weekend staked out. All the other movies cleared out of the way because that's going to be a huge movie,
yep.
right? But then they got the whole Paul Walker thing, you know, rest in peace. So
they were in the middle of making
that, they were
right?
in the middle of making it. They still have a lot to shoot. So it's on hold right now. They're working with the insurance company to see they have to rewrite some things, cast someone new maybe.
Are they pulling him out? And going to restart from scratch?
That's what they're figuring out right now. That's what they're figuring out. But because of all that, they can't come out in their projected time slot.
Yeah.
So taking, nature abhors a vacuum. So to take up that empty weekend now, Fox moved up The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, their sequel to the last Planet of the Apes movie.
I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a cool movie. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah, that was really good. That was with Franco?
Yes, with Franco. This one is with Gary Oldman, which is kind of interesting, much older. Yeah. Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell, and Andy Serkis, who does all the motion capture for the Caesar, for the lead ape. And it's directed by, this one's directed by this guy, Matt Reeves, who did Cloverfield.
No. Oh. Hold that.
Drister Cogburn versus the World.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Are you ready, Mike?
Everyone's standing up around me, charging me.
I know. They're egging us on. People are starting to throw weapons into there.
Oh, my God.
We're going to put a pin in this conversation because it's time for some Drister Cogburn versus the World. Mike is 1-0 against Drew.
Yes. Boom. And I'm a competitor. I don't care what it is or what we got going on.
If there's something
on
the line.
I want to win. Speaking of that, let me check my scores.
Your fantasy football. Glued to that thing. All right, so what we're doing this week, Drew's sitting at 9-9. This will determine whether he goes to 10-9 or 9-10.
A winning or losing record is resting on my shoulders.
I got to win.
Drew's got to win. Everyone's feeling the pressure here. Speaking of all the trivia, we're talking about trivia. This is just a random movie trivia game.
Okay,
I just have random movie trivia questions, and you know, let's see what you can get. 5 out of 5. So did you win last against Cool Carl?
No, he beat me.
Cool Carl won, so the World is the winner. Winner takes the ball out. Big Mike, do you want A or B? Which set of questions do you want?
This is always the toughest one. The toughest one.
Yeah.
B.
B. Here we go. Question number one. Which movie was Pixar's first feature film?
Toy Story?
That is correct. Number two. How old is Kevin in Home Alone?
Shoot. 11.
Oh, he's 8. He's 8. Number 3. What was the nickname given to the mechanical shark in Jaws?
Oh, the nickname given to the mechanical shark in Jaws. Oh, man. I rode that ride out here and everything. I don't know. Chomp.
Oh, good guess. Bruce.
Bruce.
His nickname was Bruce. They call him Bruce the Shark. Number 4. In which James Bond movie does the character Pussy Galore appear in?
Well, I know it's not Golden Gun because I played that game all the time and I don't remember that. Octopussy?
Oh, I get where you're going there, but no, it was Goldfinger. All right, so far you only got one right.
Not
here.
Not doing good at all.
Last question, number 5. How many guns does Travis Bickle buy in Taxi Driver?
Four.
So you got.
I should have known that.
1 out of 4. Right?
All right, I have a chance.
All right, Drew, you gotta get 2 right. You ready?
I have a chance.
Number 1. What is the name of Warren Beatty's famous sister?
No idea.
Shirley MacLaine. Number 2. Which actor from Rain Man won an Oscar?
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman's correct. So you're tied. Here we go. Number 3. In what city does Mrs. Doubtfire take place?
I might be able to steal this. Is that legal?
No. There's no stealing.
Because if so, I could have stolen a couple of minutes. Oh, if that was, if I could have stolen answers, that my record would be so different. I don't know, Cleveland.
Oh, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, you knew it.
Yeah, well, only reason I don't even know it that, but only reason I remember is he's standing on the street and he's on a daggum hill.
Yeah.
Big ass hill.
That's all I picture. That's exactly what I picture. Number 4. Here we go. Who was originally cast as Marty McFly in Back to the Future?
This is about people who didn't even make the movie. I'm glad I went with B.
Man. I don't know. Raul Julia.
Raul Julia as Marty McFly.
Yes.
No, Eric Stoltz. He was fired after a week.
Eric Stoltz. Come on, everyone knows
Eric
Stoltz.
I know, right?
And number 5. Who won a Best Actor Oscar in 1993 and 1994?
Wow. 93 and 94. I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Big Mike, any idea?
93 and 94.
You guys are tired.
I would, I can't think of his name, but.
Oh, if you can't think of his name, then you're yeah, you no, don't got
it's,
it.
It's dude who,
nope, it's nope, yeah. It's not him. Nope, if you can't think of his name, it's not him. Nope. The correct answer for Forrest Gump and Philadelphia.
Yo, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
That's not who I was thinking of. Oh, I love Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. He's great.
He's
Tom
the
Hanks
man,
great.
Dude.
So we got a tie.
I love ties.
So rough.
Here you go, Eugene. His favorite.
You know, Forrest Gump is the only movie I've ever been to that I had to not sit with the people I came with because
the
theater
was so packed.
Was so packed.
I remember my theater being completely packed for that, too.
I went with my mom, my brother, and like a couple of my cousins.
Yeah, yeah. And you had to split up?
Yeah, we all had to split up, which was awesome for me and my cousins. I think, you know, we were like,
yeah, right.
We were young.
Oh, man. We got away from the parents.
Yeah, 12. We're like, it's bounce, man.
That's hysterical. All right, here we go. Tiebreaker question. We're going closest to the pin. Will Smith's highest grossing film in the U.S. is Independence Day. How much did Independence Day make in U.S. theaters?
How much did it make? Profit or make?
Gross, total. What was his box office total in the U.S.? Independence Day, closest to the pin. You can go over. Did I say without going over? You can go over.
Okay.
It's just closest to the pin. So you, if you go over, it's cool. Whoever's closer. Will Smith's highest grossing U.S. film. Okay, so have you guys written down your answers yet?
I have got my answer written down.
Drew, you got your answer written down?
Do I need to write it down? Can I just tell it to you?
Well, I mean, I just want to make sure because I'm just trying to make it as fair as possible.
And I am.
Yeah, write it down. I want you to write it down. Write the fucking answer down.
Yeah.
Questioning me. No one questions Richard Dawson, the kissing bandit.
Okay.
Okay. Big Mike, what's your answer?
I wrote down $787 million.
$787 million. Drew.
$450 million.
The correct answer is $306 million. Drew is correct.
Oh,
Drew, good job.
Yes.
That was an overestimation,
yes.
Big Mike.
God, I hate losing.
That was a brutal one too. It came down to the last wire. Good game, guys.
Oh, good
sir.
Game.
Good game, sir.
Good job. All right. Well, like I was saying, Fast and the Furious 7 out of its spot. The new Planet of the Apes movie, directed by a guy that did Cloverfield and Let Me In. Cloverfield, you're a fan of that one?
I haven't seen Cloverfield.
Oh, really? It's a good one. It's fun. Found footage movie, but about a giant monster.
Giant
That's
baby monster.
That's a J.J. Abrams one?
He produced it.
Okay.
Yeah,
the,
he produced
J. J. Abrams.
It. And this guy, Matt Reeves, who directed, that was his first movie. And then he did this vampire movie, Let Me In, a couple years ago, which was pretty good. It's got some good style to it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with Planet of the Apes.
That Planet of the Apes. That's after the apes have taken over and won the war, right?
This one's going to be, I guess, well, the way the new one is set up now, because the rise of the Planet of the Apes ended with all the smart apes running off to the Redwood Forest to hide out there, and then some crazy sickness is going to start spreading around the world, wiping out humanity.
Yeah, because it showed the pilot.
Yes, he was sick, and then it showed that awesome map.
Yep. Yes,
and I was like, oh,
yes.
So that's how this one goes down. Yep. So I don't know where the next one's going to pick up. They haven't really released that information. But I think it's still before, like, it's before.
There's going to be a few humans left.
There's still humans left. It's not yet the Planet of the Apes. It's the dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Well, yeah, I guess there's always been humans because they had them as slaves for a while, right?
They did, yeah.
Like in the movie, because
they live in, like, the caves and the mountains and stuff, and they go out and they round them up and they use them as slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Charlton Heston comes from the.
You damn the, dirty apes.
From outer space, but it's really the past, and. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so here we go. British video rental business Blockbuster UK won't be around by Christmas time. They were actually Blockbuster UK because they were owned by another little group there. You know, they had their franchising rights going on. They were trying their damnedest to save it. They were trying to get financiers at the last moment, but they just announced, sorry guys, Blockbuster UK ain't even going to make it to Christmas.
I'm surprised it made it this long.
Seriously.
Was it the same scenario? Like,
it is pretty much the same thing, except that because of the way they were structured, like, they were able to, like, try to find financing on their own, aside from the Blockbuster Dish Network thing that's going on here in America. But they couldn't do it, so 91 stores are being closed, 808 employees are being let go right
that's
before
not
Christmas.
That bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. They'll get more jobs.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, 800 is not as bad as it could be.
Well, it's not like
It's not
the Great Ford. Recession.
It's not Ford. You know, but
right. But there we go.
It's Blockbuster. How did they think it was going to make it?
Yeah.
Seriously.
They were trying.
Are you living in a box? Like, do you not look around the world? I mean.
Yeah. Did you not get the Financial Times?
Exactly. Oh, instead of pushing a button, you want me to walk down the street?
Screw that.
And then I have to bring it back. You're going to charge me more money?
Exactly.
Man. Exactly. Part of the reason why those are going out of business is because of things like Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix is now in your home. And Netflix is just getting bigger. Now Netflix wants to be the next HBO. They want to be a network.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing a couple of shows.
House of Cards. They just put out the trailer for the second season coming out in February. The funny
one? Arrested Development?
Arrested Development. They brought that back. So now they're producing their own stuff. They did a deal with DreamWorks Animation. So now DreamWorks movies, like starting in 2015, they'll really start coming out a lot on the Netflix. And they just announced that they're doing DreamWorks Animation series, like TV shows, but for Netflix only. They're doing one based on Turbo. Remember this one came out and bombed?
Yeah.
The super fast snail thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a super fast snail. They're turning that into a TV show, and The Croods is also becoming a TV show.
Was that the one that was voiced by Ryan Reynolds or something?
The Croods. I know Nicolas Cage is one of the voices.
That's the...
You know, with these DreamWorks movies, yeah. They don't care about who the actor is. They just want a recognizable name to say that's the
voice. That was the caveman, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah. It was the caveman one. So they're doing a Croods TV show. They're doing a Turbo TV show on top of all the other stuff they're producing. Netflix wants to be, like, it.
Yeah.
Like,
I would like The Croods. I think that would... I haven't seen that movie, but...
It would work as a TV show.
I'm thinking as a TV show.
It's like a Flintstones type of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
I mean, animation. You can do whatever you want with animation. Netflix, they're also working on a deal. They want to do a thing with, like, Comcast or whatever, where they can be available on set-top, on the boxes. On
oh, really?
Boxes. Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's going to be Netflix next...
That's their next
way
thing.
Into your house.
Yeah, to be lumped in with packages, yeah. Like movie packages.
Yeah,
and
in
stuff.
Your box. Instead of going to like 11/23, you go to 11/24, and it's a whole different package of movies.
Yeah. And so with your Netflix subscription, you can check out all these great movies.
It's a good idea. I'm going to go buy stock in Netflix.
Yeah, their stock has just been going up lately. I mean, it's been going up. So actually, now would be a good time to get it. Now better than ever. Because I don't see it going down anytime soon.
Last time I had a chance to buy it was 30. Now it's 300.
Is that when they split it? They try to do like Quickster and everyone's like, you guys are crazy. They lost subscribers. Oh, that was the time.
And I didn't do it.
Should have. Oh, well.
Yeah. Should have took a loan and done it.
Seriously.
Should have, could have, would have. If shoulds and coulds were, isn't that, I don't know.
If ifs and buts were beers and nuts, me and you could open a bar.
There you go. That's pretty much what I was getting at. We watched a bunch of movie trailers came out this week. We watched some movie trailers. Let's start with, we saw the trailer for, oh, it's a teaser for Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Yes.
Yeah.
With McConaughey.
With Matthew McConaughey. They really didn't show much of the actual movie.
Nope, just a lot of historical footage.
Narrated.
McConaughey narrated some sort of speech from the movie all about our exploration, humans' tendency to explore. And it was
we've all lost our pioneerism.
Yeah, it's about losing that pioneering spirit personified by the space program. So the movie, they're pretty much saying that the movie is going to be about space exploration by humans and McConaughey. It looks like he was driving away and that he was in that cornfield and he was driving that pickup truck. It looked like he might have been crying, like his eyes were a little teary eyed.
Yeah.
So I bet you he was like saying goodbye to his family because he's about to get on a ship and go on the super deep voyage that he won't be coming back from, like a colonization type of deal, you know?
Did it look like that in the near future, though? Like, it looked kind of near future
to
me.
I mean, we didn't get much, though. We just got the cornfield.
Definitely a teaser.
It is a teaser, yeah. We saw the rocket going up at the end, but that rocket could have been anything.
Yeah, well, if it is in the future, poor farmers still dress the same.
Yeah, they do. Hey, what? Why change what works, man? They've been dressing the same since the 1900s.
Like businessmen.
Your boots are getting better. That's it. Better quality boots. They're tougher but softer on your feet.
Don't hurt as much.
So that one looked pretty interesting. But like we're saying, it's just a teaser. So that one's coming out. I did like how at the end of the trailer, instead of saying coming soon or November 2014, it said coming 1 year from now.
Yeah, one year later.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? That's so weird. All right, what else? We saw Edge of Tomorrow. That's that Tom Cruise one?
Tom Cruise one, yes.
Where it looks like war, Groundhog's Day.
Which is like the soldier's ultimate hell.
Right. Having to go into a horrible final battle where you die over and over in different ways.
And your friends and your platoon.
The whole thing is a failure. And then you wake up and you got to do it all over again.
Do it again.
That sucks.
Yeah, but it definitely alluded that he figures it out.
Well, that's going to be the point of it. That he's going to have to figure out a way to stop the loop.
Yeah.
Which I guess just means he's going to have to find a way to win the war.
Yep, by himself.
Yeah. Or with Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
You know.
His sensei.
Yeah, his sensei is Emily Blunt. It's like, I will teach you. I will teach you to be a weapon. It's a good trailer.
It is.
It looked good.
It's a pretty well-made trailer.
Yeah, real good one.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll be a good movie. I think that one, it said June 2014 is when that one's coming.
Summer.
We saw the Jupiter Ascending trailer, the new Wachowskis film, the Wachowski siblings.
Yes.
This is following up Cloud Atlas, which didn't do too well.
Epic.
Yeah. Not a lot of people saw it. A lot of people aren't really that into it because it's so thick
and very weird.
And I can't blame people for. People tell me Matt, from SBK Live, he tell me how. 10 minutes into the movie, he was so confused that he just stopped watching it. I get it.
I was in the same boat about 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
But then I gave it till about 45 minutes to an hour and a half, because it's a very long movie, too.
Oh, yeah. It's almost 3 hours.
And when I was just completely lost, I looked at it and I was like, oh, my God, there's a few hours left. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah. It's not going to start making sense anytime soon.
I was like, I can't deal with this. I'm out of here.
I had to. I saw the movie once in the theater, and I was like, whoa. All right, that was a lot of information coming at you in a weird way.
Yeah.
So I saw it again because I wanted to write about the movie, but I didn't want to be like, I didn't get it, move on. I wanted to understand it. So I saw it a second time before I actually wrote about it. And then the second time I saw it, because I knew more plot elements going in and who the characters were, it started making sense.
You know, I feel like some movies should have that tagline. You're going to need to watch this a few times.
That'll put people off, though. Like, really? I'm going to have to put work into watching it?
That's true.
Yeah, so sometimes you got to trick them. Be like, no, this is a fun sci-fi movie. And then you sit down and you're like, what? This doesn't...
Excuse me?
What's going... Six stories at once?
You got to know the end before the beginning makes any sense.
Yeah something like kind that. Of. But Jupiter Ascending looks much more straightforward. It seems pretty simple where...
Channing Tatum. He's
an animal human hybrid hunter, space hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Mila Kunis is like some princess who doesn't know she's a princess.
Lost princess.
And she's going to bring order to the universe probably or something. And bad people want to kill her and good people want to save her.
Exactly.
It seems very basic in those regards. Yeah. But
it's going to get weird.
All stories break down to elements like that.
And it works.
Yeah. It's all about the telling of it. Not the story itself, but how the story is
exactly
told.
The and good has to defend them from the bad.
Yes, it's always good versus bad. And it looks like a fun one. It's a space opera. That's how they describe it.
Okay.
So, I'm down for that one.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's April 2014, I think is when that one comes out. And then finally, we watched the Godzilla trailer, teaser trailer.
Yes.
Talk about it. That's a very good Godzilla
trailer. That was terrible.
That one looked crazy.
Though.
It looks insane, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also a teaser, again, where they don't show you much Godzilla. You see him in the beginning, where like that one guy is like... He's coming down. You see him through his goggles.
You just see parts of him.
Yeah, like you see it. Like you see the top of his head and the scales.
Or the shadow of his head.
Yeah. They're hiding them very well so far.
And look, that movie, like you said, the teaser doesn't really give me a whole lot.
Yeah.
Other than letting me know that they're going to hide Godzilla for a little bit.
And kind of giving an idea, I think, of the tone of the movie. Yeah. Like, they're like, this isn't going to be a silly, goofy,
No.
Everyone's running and freaking out, scared.
Yeah, this is a monster movie.
Yeah, it's a monster movie. Right. It actually looks like it could be intense and maybe even A little scary at times, possibly, which would be, what the hell? That'd be interesting, right? Mm-hmm. A giant monster movie that's actually kind of scary.
It's a new way to take it. I mean, it would be pretty scary if Godzilla was trashing the town.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, if you're looking up, there's a giant amphibious lizard, dinosaur, radioactive
that
thing.
Fire.
It's breathing fire.
Everyone get behind a gator hunter.
Yeah, at the least.
Yeah, they're your best bet.
SwampPatrol.com.
Boom.
Sign up today for your Godzilla apocalypse team hunting
expedition. Exactly. We've got a couple Godzillas this year.
Might as well be at this point. 100-year-old beast. Man, so I'm pretty excited for it. And it's got good actors, too. It's got Walter White. It's Godzilla versus Walter White.
Yep. Walter White. Heisenberg.
It's also
Is he going to kill Godzilla with a blue meth?
I hope so. Or some ricin. Godzilla versus Kick-Ass. Because the dude who plays Kick-Ass is looks like the army guy. Or Godzilla versus the Olsen twin that's not a twin.
Yes.
That's slightly younger.
The Olsen.
Oh, the younger?
The Elizabeth Olsen, the one that's actually quite talented.
Yeah, and cute.
Quite. Quite. So I'm down. I'm down with the Gojira. If you watch I watched the Japanese trailer for it, which is pretty much the same, except it's the same beginning, shortened a little bit, but the whole skydiving intro, and then it's like the same ending, the shot of Godzilla, the silhouette.
Yeah.
But in the middle, they cut out a bunch of stuff, the white people, and there's a lingering shot of Ken Watanabe.
Yes.
So they're like, look, there's an Asian guy. We have an Asian guy. Here's Ken Watanabe. It's a lingering shot of him that's much longer than it should be, to be. And then at the end, it says Godzilla on the screen, but then the Japanese voiceover guy kicks in and he goes, Gojira.
Gojira.
It's awesome
and,
the way he says
it. And behind the where it says Godzilla, it looks like it has Japanese characters.
Yeah, going down in Japanese. And it probably says Gojira going down. So it is supposed to be a remake of the original in a way, but an update of it.
Okay.
So they're purposefully like going back to the beginning because the first Godzilla movie is the serious one. Every sub Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, Godzilla versus
Mothra.
King Kong. That's when it got ridiculous and silly. And like, oh, look at the guy in the rubber suit trashing the shitty looking model city. You know, the first Godzilla movie, they weren't trying to make a bad movie. They wanted to make the best monster movie they could.
Yeah.
And then the subsequent ones, they got sillier and sillier and sillier. So I think this one, they're trying to like, they're making a concerted effort to be like, no, this is like the original. Where this is about a giant monster fucking shit up.
With no babies.
With no babies.
No Matthew Broderick.
There's no Matthew Broderick. No, yeah, please don't even think about that 98 one with Jean Reno. And that subplot about the news anchor, the reporter. I don't know. I mean, oh, my God. So I'm excited. We're all excited for that.
Yeah, that definitely looked like a fun one.
That looks like a good one. And that one, I think it just said coming soon. Yeah. So probably a summer movie. Right?
Godzilla? Summer blockbuster, yeah.
Yeah, summer looks blockbuster. Like I got a couple questions on the Twitter here. First, we got one from Twitter user @RageAgainstTwit. He says he has a friend in Texas that goes to the Venetian cinemas. Have you ever been to a dine-in theater?
Yes.
First off, I had to look up what the hell the Venetian cinemas were because we don't have no Venetian here. When I Googled it, only one theater came up. So he's talking about some very specific theater in a place called Carrolltown, Texas. And it's the only dine-in movie theater in all of Carrolltown, according to the website. But it's just it's actually a very nice looking theater. It looks like an older theater that's been renovated.
Yeah.
I looked at their menu. It's all like delicious looking burgers and sandwiches and you know desserts and all that and good stuff. And they do first run movies. So right now they have The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like Frozen.
So it's a lot like the Aloma Cinema Grill.
It's
here
a lot
town.
Like that's what I'm gonna say. It's a lot like the Aloma Cinema Grill in that they show first run movies. But it looks
more like the Enzion.
It looks like more like the Enzion in terms of food. Being very nice and having good food and stuff.
I've only been to the Enzion when they had like the big events and it's out in the yard.
Oh, they do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, never gone like and sat inside. But I grew up just down the street from my house. They had a dine-in theater.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't do first run. It was more like the dollar movie
kind
of theater.
The second run,
Yeah, they, you know, and I remember my parents loved it because we would shut up and they could, you know, have a pitcher of beer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eat. You know, like you said, it's good, like bar food.
Yeah, yeah, places like that you'll expect to get. Like the Loma Cinema Grill, it's like I'd go there to get a pizza and a pitcher of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be cutting a steak anyway. You want to be able to look up.
Yeah, that's maybe a
something
thing
you
too.
Can put in your hand and just.
Like a sandwich. Like,
yeah,
sandwich
like exactly yeah, while yeah. you're watching the movie.
Yeah, at the Enzion, they got a. You know, it's more like, you know.
It's a little fancier.
Utensils. You hear the clink, clink, clink of the.
Yeah.
But that's a give and take. I'll take that in order to be able to sit back. And be able to order a couple beers.
That's the beauty
and watch
of it.
A really
they'll
nice
bring it to
film.
You.
Yeah,
They'll bring it to you.
They'll bring it to you.
That is nice.
And they'll if you can wave one of them down. If you see one in the dark and wearing their black, wave one down. Give me a couple more of these OBBs.
I've always said, why don't they have TVs in the bathroom? So when you go to the restroom at the movie, you can still. I mean, how many bars do you go in that they have a TV in there that's running commercials?
Yeah. Was it Carl with the Google Glass idea?
Yeah.
Last week we had Carl Verna on, cool Carl.
Yep.
And he came up. His idea is that they should have theaters should have like a set of Google glasses on each seat. Right. You got to go to the bathroom. You hit a button, the glasses pop up. You put them on your face, and then you can see the movie playing on the Google right in front of you. Then you go to the bathroom. You can go get your food or whatever, and the movie's playing the whole time. And you can hear it. And then when you get back into the theater, you take the glasses off. You put them back in the armrest, and you can go back. You don't miss a second.
I like that idea until you had me at going to the bathroom.
Oh, and now
we're
all
going to be sharing these glasses that are in and out of the bathroom.
Okay, in the seat, in the
instant
armrest,
sanitizer.
It's a sanitizer. And it's when you pull it out, it's going to go. Psst, it's going to be.
I feel like we
can
get there
steam.
A lot quicker with two TVs.
Okay,
one in the bathroom and one in the hallway.
One in the hallway. There you go.
And boom, you're good.
But then the thing is, though,
what movie though?
But yeah,
what movie's going to play?
Yeah, you got 20 theaters. How does it know? You got to find the stall that's showing your movie.
Exactly.
What if there's lines to use that one?
Every time you go, there's a wing. There's a bathroom for that wing.
Yeah.
There's a bathroom for that wing. So you're not running across a theater.
Yeah, okay. But even
on
one wing, you still have 10 theaters. So you go into the bathroom. There's 10 toilets total. You got one screen per.
Maybe the main showings, the main features.
Or maybe you can
select.
Yeah,
you can select
like a jukebox. Like the old, what TV show you watching?
It's like I'm watching Croods 2. Hey, Cruise
Boom.
2.
And then it comes up.
Then I can watch the end of Batman even if I'm not watching Batman.
It's like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
The Cruise stinks.
Then you got people
movie.
Bringing their popcorn, watching someone else's movie in the toilet.
In the toilet, yep.
You know, but hey, if that's what you want to do, bro.
You can watch movies
go
in the John.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
But,
hey, you've already bought a ticket.
There's way. We'll figure this out. But dine-in theaters.
Idea.
Yeah, well, I love dine-in theaters. You know, to at least do some drinking.
Exactly.
Drinking theater. Yeah.
That's really all it's about.
Yeah,
it's
all about
really
the ones.
It's about.
The ones with the beers.
Exactly.
But yeah, they have food too. Yeah, I'll get some food every now and then. The thing is, too, it's the same thing. With the Enzion, they're a nonprofit theater. So they really got to strive extra hard to make enough money just to break even and do whatever. So, I mean, yeah, the food there is good. But yeah, get prepared to pay $14 for a burger.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to be a good burger. But hey, it's a nonprofit. They need that money.
Yeah,
you know? So I'll be like, hey, give me two OBPs.
Well, you know, without them, we would lose a lot of kind of independent and little fun movies that would never come around otherwise.
It's them and at the Winter Park Regal. Because whoever programs movies over there, because they know the audience in this area, the Winter Park area, they'll be more likely to come out and see something independent or a documentary. Between those two theaters, they get it all pretty much covered. If the NZI wasn't there, then, we will lose so much. But fortunately, they are there, and they're actually adding a second screen. They're expanding.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so good for them. That's for you guys. all right, so we're going to switch. We do like the dine-in theaters. Thanks for asking. At JHigh87 noted that Matthew McConaughey has taken some good roles lately and done well. Bernie, Killer Joe, Mud. Like or dislike? I mean, how can you gotta like it, right? Matthew McConaughey.
I love Matthew McConaughey.
And he's on a roll lately, man.
All right.
Any chance you've seen Killer Joe?
Killer Joe. I've heard of it, but no, I have not seen it.
That's a crazy movie from the director of The Exorcist, right? William Friedkin. This guy's an insane director. And this movie, Killer Joe, it's based on a stage play, and it's a weird, weird little insane movie where he plays a cop who's also a hired contract killer on the side.
Okay.
And these dudes want to hire him to kill their mom to get the insurance money, but they're like, we don't have the money. And it's like, well, you better be paying me up front. He's like, oh, you know what? You have this sweet little young sister. Maybe I'll take that as payment. It's a weird movie, man.
Woo.
Have you seen it, Drew?
Nope.
Yeah, we got to see. We got to get Killer Joe on DVD and watch it, dude, because it is insane.
That sounds crazy.
And he's so good in it, and he might be he's being nominated for some awards for actor for this movie Mud he was in this year.
I saw that.
You saw Mud?
Yeah.
It's a good movie, right? It's
I
a
like
nice
it.
Nice coming-of-age movie, but not in a traditional way, you know?
Yeah.
I can see you digging it because it's about like people living off the land and the fishing and
old
hunting
neck
and stuff.
Bone.
Yeah, neck bone.
Old neck bone. I like, man, the best part is like, what's your name? He goes, neck bone. He goes, that's a good handle, son.
That's a good handle, yeah.
That's a good handle, son.
Exactly, yeah. So that's that movie, a lot of people, when it first came out, we were talking about like this is one of the best movies of the year. And McConaughey, it's like all-time performance for him because he is really, really good at that.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon, too. She's actually quite good in that, too. So, yeah, I think we're all happy with the McConaughey, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, we can't dislike him at this point.
Nah.
Not when he's doing so well. Not when all the romantic comedies are behind him.
Exactly.
We can finally put the ghost of girlfriends past behind us. All together, as a group, we can get over that.
It's done.
We can all get over failure to launch together in our Matthew McConaughey support group. This brings us to the end of the show. Big Mike, I got a lightning round for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready? I got 10 questions that I came up with late last night.
Did we get a question for Billy D?
Oh, I got a question for Billy D. See, the thing is, Billy D doesn't submit questions on the reg, so things I forget. I forget to
question
even check.
Billy D, dude.
Billy D, New York City show correspondent and horror expert and one half of the Cinema Crust Russo creative graphic arts team.
Correct.
Whatever you want to call it. He says, sad day, dudes. The Eyebrows only has a couple more projects in him before he retires. He's talking about Martin Scorsese.
Yes.
Oh. Scorsese said in an interview recently, he is 71 years old, that he only feels like he has maybe 2 or 3 movies left.
I feel like his last movie's got to be the movie we were talking about earlier in the show.
Wolf of Wall Street?
No, like a
mafia-style
movie.
Oh, the Winter of Frankie Machine?
Mafia-style movie. Maybe you get De Niro, you get Caprio, you get all your guys that you've grown up.
Go out with a big old bang.
Boom.
That's the thing with Wolf of Wall Street. They're saying that movie feels like it was made by a much younger man. That's one of the things that's really being thrown around about it. Because there's a stereotype about old men directors and old men filmmaking. And, filmmaking, a lot of people say it's a young man's game. But Scorsese, at the age of 71, made a movie that people were like, this should have been made by like a 20-year-old. It's so crazy and kind of experimental and fast. Yes. Even at 3 hours, I think it's supposed to fly.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited for that one. So he says, Eyebrows, only has a couple more projects. Very sad indeed. He proposes a battle. Oh, Crespo Dome battle.
Crespo Dome battle.
Excellent Eyebrows of Martin Scorsese versus the ferocious follicles of Eugene Levy. Oh, it's an Eyebrows battle.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Get ready to tangle, Billy. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it. So who would win in a battle of the Eyebrows? Martin Scorsese's bushy eyebrows or
Eugene Levy's crazy
eyebrows? You know what? I love Scorsese.
Me too, but I think Levy's
got
him
beat.
I think
Levy's got him.
Yeah, hands down.
Those are thick. Scorsese seems like they're kind of wild and wispy, and they're getting out there. Levy's are like tight. They're compact.
And I think it kind of, Levy's might be a little bit more street.
Yeah.
I mean, Scorsese might be a little like uptight.
Yeah,
eyebrows.
Yeah. At this point,
I feel
now,
like Levy's would be like street. Like they've seen hard times.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
about it. What's up? I've seen eyebrows like you before.
I'm going to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene Levy.
Agree.
Yeah, we all agree. Which set of eyebrows have made better movies, though?
Scorsese.
Scorsese, right? Not even.
Levy. Duh. Well, have you not seen the
American Pie? Yeah, right. He played the father of a pie fucker. Thank you, Billy D. We appreciate the question.
I love that we could say swear word shit, cock, ball.
Yes. Hell damn fart. That's a Simpsons thing. All right, here we go, Big Mike. I've got a lightning round for you. 10 questions. We're going to get inside the mind of Big Mike.
Careful,
scary
man.
Place, man.
Yeah, you might
scary
not
place.
Like what comes out.
It can be a scary place. So here we go. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, Adam Sandler. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Number two, is the moon made of cheese?
If it was, I'd like it with a cracker.
Number three, can I wear white after Labor Day?
For sure.
Number four, when you die, do you want to be buried or cremated?
Neither. I want to be dumped in the swamp.
Nice.
In case I wake up, I can swim out.
Okay. Number five, did you have an imaginary friend as a child?
Nope.
All right. Number six, what color is the bottom strip of Egypt's flag?
Green?
No, black. Number seven, JFK was the first Boy Scout to become U.S. president. True or false?
False.
True.
Huh.
Number eight, what is your most played song in your music library?
Oh, right now or like overall?
Right now.
Right now. It would be Family Reunion by David Allan Coe.
All right. Number nine. What do you feel strongly enough about to protest?
Oh, man. Vegetarians.
And number 10. What is the coldest you have ever been?
The coldest I have ever been?
Yes.
Like emotionally or?
I'm going to go with physically.
Physically? Okay, sitting in a tree stand at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
No sun, able to move.
During the winter,
It was about 7 degrees.
Oh, that's cold.
And yeah, I walked instead of driving the four-wheeler because it hurt my face. The wind on my face was too much.
Yeah.
So I walked, which makes you sweat, too. So then you sit there, and my shirt was actually, the sweat on my shirt was turning to icicles.
Yeah.
And if I would lean forward too much, and my back would turn to ice, so when I leaned back, it would break.
The
ice would break, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the most horrible morning of my entire life. It was terrible.
Well, I'm so glad we could make you relive it here on the show. Thank you so much. For that, you get a swag bag.
Yeah.
You got four bags behind you. Go ahead and pick a color.
You
got a blue polka dot one. You got a pink polka dot. You got a bright green. And what's that?
The pink one. You got two pink ones, dude.
Of course I want the pink polka dot.
Pink polka dot.
It's the one.
Pink polka dot.
It's one bag.
It's like a claw machine.
It's one bag. It came out together.
All right, pass it over here.
What do we got? I'm so excited. Ooh, my shoulder.
This is a good one.
Watch that shoulder. Okay, this comes with. I always start with the movie. You got a copy of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
This poor guy in his arm. We got you. See what we got in here. Oh, that's gross. Boogers. Pull them, stretch them, pick them, soft and gooey. Don't eat them. It says don't.
Boogers. Don't eat your boogers.
I like how it says pick them and stretch them, but then don't eat them, all in the same font.
Yeah, don't eat them.
We got you. Ooh, it looks like you got a 25 tattoos of Disney fairies.
Oh, bro. I've already got 20 of these, so
well,
I wonder
complete
what the other five are going to be.
They'll complete your collection.
Exactly.
We got here. You got a emergency rescue police holster set. Holster attaches to your belt with badge, clicker gun, and holster. There you go.
Awesome.
And pretend to be a cop.
Awesome. I'll be like Elvis.
Yeah, dude.
I'll be a drunken cop.
Just roll up on the White House.
Yeah. Just and
shoot. DEA.
Oh, I'm in the DEA now, guys. And yeah. A couple of Cinema Crespo Diso stickers there. So there you
perfect.
Go.
There perfect.
You go. There you go, sir.
Awesome. I always love the swag bags.
Oh, that's my
crazy
favorite
stuff.
It's my favorite part of the show. I
it
love giving
me
out
feel
the swag
loved
bags. Yes, that's the whole point. Thank you so much for coming on, Big Mike.
Thank you for having me. I love it.
Oh, we appreciate it. Drew, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, sir.
We appreciate it. We'll be back next week, episode 50. That's going to be our Christmas episode.
Yes.
Let me tell you now who the guest is going to be. Should I say it?
Yeah, it's up to you, bro.
You know what? Most people, I always feel like Big Mike when he gets to the end of the show, a lot of people have kind of tuned out. They're not listening. They stop listening. But so the people that are listening
get a little treat.
They get a little treaty. They get a little treaty.
Little
treat. So I'll go ahead and tell you now for the Christmas episode next week, we're going to have SBK back on the show.
The one and only.
We haven't had him in here since April.
Awesome.
On the show. So looking forward to having him back. He said he's going to bring some barbecue.
Awesome.
That's going to be
hashtag
great.
SBK barbecue.
Hashtag. Yeah, do that. Yeah, guys, do that. So that's it. We'll be back with episode 50 next week. Thank you very much, guys, and peace out.
See you.